the encampment's demands themselves proved a threat to the constant accumulation of profit and profiting off of genocide that CUNY is engaged in.
And are the charges being dropped? Is there any discussion of the charges being dropped against those who were involved in the encampment, Misabaga?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we know that some of the misdemeanors and summons have been dropped thus far by the DA. None of the felony charges have been dropped so far from the encampment itself. And we know that the DA cannot prosecute or would have a really hard time, you know, upholding these charges if CUNY administration refused to meaningfully participate in the prosecution. So we're calling on the administration to refuse to participate in the prosecution. And this is, again, why one of our demands is that CUNY stop retaliating and repressing its pro-Palestine students and workers. I mean, this is really the most egregious example we've seen of violent repression of pro-Palestinian organizing and views.
And Professor Vitale, we only have about 30 seconds, but could you talk about the Cops Off Campus Coalition and the significance, for instance, of Portland State students successfully getting a disarmament of their campus police?
CUNY is spending millions of dollars for a security apparatus that that fails to address the real security needs of students and is really there in moments like this to be a tool, a kind of private army for the administration to suppress student dissent. Campuses should quit wasting educational dollars on producing their own police forces that just
reproduce
the same.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio couldn't do it without you. Support KBOO by becoming a member during our spring membership drive, taking place now through May 25th. Your contribution goes towards postmodern, avant-garde, alternative radio. Donate now by going to bit.ly/KBOO or text KBOO to 44321. Thank you. The month of May is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Here at KBOO, we will be celebrating Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage this Thursday, May 16th, with a live broadcast from our studios, simultaneously with a remote broadcast organized by APANO, the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon. Tune in to KBOO this Thursday, May 16th, from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m., and join us in celebrating Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage. You'll hear local, fresh, and relevant information about AAPI culture, heritage, presence, struggles, successes, and relevance to our nation as a whole. Again, this Thursday, May 16th, from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m., tune in to KBOO as we celebrate Asian American and Pacific Islander heritage with two simultaneous live broadcasts, only on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland.
This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from the League of Women Voters of Portland, providing nonpartisan election information at lwvpdx.org. The League of Women Voters has online voters' guides, videos, and podcasts to help voters understand the state and local candidates and measures that will be on the ballot this May. Nonpartisan voter information at lwvpdx.org.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Portland Environmental and Transportation Groups sue ODOT over their proposed Rose Quarter expansion of I-5.
A Multnomah County judge blocks a police union ballot measure to increase police officers.
And in national news, Biden and Trump campaigns agree to debate.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. I'm Michelle Coppola.
And I'm Reed Johnson. Five Portland area environmental and transportation groups filed a lawsuit on Friday against the Oregon Department of Transportation, or ODOT, for their plan to expand Interstate 5 through the Rose Quarter in Portland. The suit was filed by No More Freeways, Neighbors for Clean Air, Oregon and Southwest Washington Families for Safe Streets, Bike Loud PDX, and the Elliott Neighborhood Association. They demand a moratorium on the Rose Quarter Freeway Expansion Program, which has a price tag of $1.9 billion. They allege that the expansion plan doesn't comply with the City of Portland's 2035 Comprehensive Plan or the Metro Regional Transportation Plan. They say it will negatively impact the surrounding environment and the health and safety of neighbors. A $450 million federal grant was awarded to ODOT in March to pay for a cap or freeway lid over the expansion. This is to reconnect the Albina neighborhood. But that grant is just for reconnecting Portland's historically black neighborhood that was bisected by I-5 in the 1960s. ODOT is still on the hook for $1 billion. It's not the first time that ODOT has been sued over this plan. Some of the same plaintiffs took the Transportation Department to court in 2021, demanding they complete a full environmental impact statement for the expansion project, which would bring the freeway up to 10 lanes. Chris Smith is with No More Freeways. Smith said in a press release about the lawsuit, quote, "It's absurd for ODOT to claim that their proposed $1.9 billion 10-lane highway is in compliance with the city's existing plans for climate action, sustainable transportation investment, or neighborhood development. We filed this lawsuit because state law requires ODOT to follow the city's clean air and climate goals. ODOT shouldn't be allowed to advance a project that brazenly violates the city's adopted plans," end quote. Though the plaintiffs oppose the I-5 expansion plan, they do support the freeway capping project, just without the lane expansion.
An Oregon judge has blocked a ballot measure proposed by Portland's police union from being on the November ballot. The proposed measure would have required that the city increase its number of sworn police officers, expand street support services, and create a 24-hour treatment center for drug and alcohol detoxification. Under the state constitution, ballot measures cannot make administrative changes to city policies, only legislative changes. Choosing staffing levels is an administrative decision. When the proposed measure was first introduced, it was immediately challenged by a Portlander represented by the ACLU. The Portland Police Association's other proposed measure, which would restrict the city's new police oversight office, has also been challenged and is awaiting the judge's decision on whether it can be on the ballot as well.
In further local policing news, the U.S. Justice Department says that the force used by a U.S. Marshal who shot a protester in the head in a 2020 protest was justified. Donovan Labella was seriously injured when an officer shot him in the forehead with a less-than-lethal impact munition on July 11, 2020. This week, the federal government filed documents saying that use of force was, quote, reasonable and privileged. They say the marshal, referred to in court as John Doe 1, was aiming for Labella's abdomen, and the gas mask the officer was wearing caused him to miss. The attorneys wrote, quote, "Unfortunately, the impact round did not strike Mr. Labella in the abdomen, where John Doe 1 had aimed. Instead, it struck him in the head. The evidence will show that the fact that John Doe 1 was wearing a gas mask and did not obtain a good cheek weld, aligning his eye along the barrel and the sight, are the most likely explanations for this result," end quote. They claim that the U.S. is not liable for the injury inflicted on Labella. The filing is one of the first times that the federal government has laid out their version of events when they were involved in policing racial justice protests in July of 2020 in Portland. It comes ahead of a 5-day trial scheduled for June 10th, where Labella is seeking damages for his injuries.
On the national front, believe it or not, Joe Biden and Donald Trump's campaigns have actually agreed to something. That would be to two debates, June 27th and September 10th, with a proposed third debate up in the air. This plan differs from the tradition of three debates usually held in the fall and organized by the Bipartisan Commission on Presidential Debates. The June debate will take place in Georgia and will be hosted by CNN. Trump announced that he'll participate in a third presidential debate hosted by Fox News in October, but the Biden campaign insists there will be only two debates. Jen O'Malley Dillon is the chair of Biden's reelection campaign. O'Malley said, quote, "President Biden made his terms clear for two one-on-one debates, and Donald Trump accepted those terms. No more games, no more chaos," end quote.
higher consumer costs are still being felt at the grocery store. Households struggling to manage food expenses are turning to debt as a way to keep everyone fed. This according to a new analysis of spending habits among shoppers around the country. Policy experts say grocery price increases have outpaced overall inflation. The Urban Institute is out with findings showing that in 2023, 60% of adults reported their families used credit cards to buy groceries. 7% were not able to make minimum monthly payments on those charges, and nearly 1 in 5 dipped into savings to maintain their food supplies. The Institute's Cassandra Martincheck says this reflects the financial strain some people are feeling.
Some families are really struggling to even meet their basic needs and are taking riskier financial strategies that could leave them less capable to cope with like a future financial shock. So something like losing their job.
For those taking advantage of buy now, pay later options for groceries, 37% reported missing payments on those loans. Even if food prices start to come down, Martincheck says missed debt payments during the price hikes could have lasting effects.
They could have constrained access to affordable credit options and struggle to take advantage of different wealth-building opportunities.
She says that's especially the case for historically disadvantaged households. The report suggests that policymakers strengthen social safety nets to help these families as pandemic aid expires. But increasing payments under programs like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, might be hard in a divided Congress. Another recommendation calls for bolstering credit counseling and debt management services.
If you work in the construction field or know someone who does, you'll be interested to know that an event highlighting the importance of heart health for construction workers will be held in Seattle tomorrow. As Eric Tegedoff reports, some risk factors for cardiovascular disease are greater among construction workers.
The message of the importance of heart health has arrived at construction sites. On Thursday, the American Heart Association is hosting its annual event, Hard Hats with Heart, in Seattle. Americans are at high risk for cardiovascular diseases, and construction workers have high rates of some of the contributing factors, such as nearly half not getting enough exercise. Mark Howell is Senior Vice President of Skanska USA Building and Chairman of Puget Sound Hard Hats with Heart. He says the American Heart Association hosts toolbox talks at job sites to raise awareness about heart health.
We've had several workers find out they're diabetic and they didn't even know it. And the only way they found out was by going into the blood pressure challenge and ended up deciding to make a doctor's appointment and discovered they had diabetes. So just bring that awareness into the industry so people can take care of underlying issues to improve their heart health.
Hard Hats with Heart takes place at the Shop in Seattle's Georgetown neighborhood on Thursday. Howell says the event highlights cardiovascular risks specific to the industry and ensures people on job sites understand how to be prepared in case of an emergency, such as having hands-only CPR training.
It's an evening where we celebrate the progress we've made, the number of lives that we've impacted with the message about proper heart health. And it's also an opportunity to hear from some construction workers who have personally been impacted by cardiovascular disease and have been able to maybe make some corrections in their lives as a result of that awareness.
More than 340,000 construction workers have been diagnosed with cardiovascular disease, according to the American Heart Association. For Washington News Service, I'm Eric Tegedoff.
In national news, many Republicans are accused of undermining American democracy. New polling shows Trump leading Biden in key battleground states. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court considers lifting a near-total ban on ballot drop boxes. With more on these stories, it's Catherine Carley with 2024 Talks.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The only crime that's happening here is this Democrat judge and the Democrat Party prosecuting their political rival right in the middle of a presidential election.
Florida Congressman Byron Donalds is joining conservatives supporting President Donald Trump at his criminal trial in ways that question the rule of law. As potential Trump VPs refuse to say they'll respect the election results, others echo Trump's accusation that the courts are corrupt and the charges against him a political conspiracy. Meanwhile, voters in Maryland, West Virginia, and Nebraska cast primary votes with the future of democracy as one issue. The Democratic primary for an open seat in Maryland's 3rd Congressional District is crowded and competitive. Candidate and former Capitol Police officer Harry Dunn told supporters he'd defend democracy, just as he did on January 6th.
People are trying to whitewash it, diminish it, or erase it from history. And it's very important for people that believe in our country, that believe in democracy, to continue to stand up and not let people forget about it.
In deep red West Virginia, most of the leading Republican candidates say 2020 was stolen. A convicted January 6th insurrectionist looks unlikely to get back into office, but other better connected election deniers have stronger chances. A new Siena New York Times poll finds President Joe Biden losing support among young Black and Hispanic voters upset about the economy and his handling of Gaza. Trump leads Biden among all registered voters in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. Advocates for women of color say their votes have too long been taken for granted. Regina Davis Moss with the National Black Women's Reproductive Justice Agenda says Black maternal mortality is up in states with abortion bans.
There's going to be a need to name and address systemic racism. We want to hear politicians leaning into that. It's going to be critical to them if they want to earn our votes.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court might lift the state's near-total ban on ballot drop boxes. Republicans contend the boxes invite fraud. But Janelle Ludwig Krause with Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin says the boxes boost both urban and rural voting and are often under 24-hour surveillance.
There are special interest groups in Wisconsin that have worked really, really hard to make it hard for regular people in Wisconsin to vote.
Supporters of a controversial New Jersey bill limiting public access to government records say it would cut the workload for local agencies. But watchdog groups say it would gut transparency in a state known for corruption. Longtime journalist Miriam Ascarelli says misinformation would fill the void.
People have to have confidence in the ability of citizens to get information, and they have to have confidence in the ability of journalists to get information.
Governor Phil Murphy hasn't said if he'll sign it. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You are listening to a spring membership drive edition of the KBOO Evening News. Our goal is to raise $60,000 by May 25th, and we want to remind you that you can renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by going online to bit.ly/KBOO. That's bit.ly/KBOO. We can't do it without you. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth report on the Multnomah Mothers Trust, an unconditional cash transfer program that provides a monthly stipend to Black mothers in Multnomah County. The program is on the chopping block in the county budget, and we'll hear from three women in the program to learn more. At 6 o'clock, it's Nakba Day special programming, Building Bridges. At 6:30, it's Free Culture Radio with Doug McVeigh. And then at 7, Culture in Motion with Mike Crenshaw. Your weather forecast, partly cloudy with a low of 54 tonight. Tomorrow, not quite as warm and sunny as today. It'll be cloudy with a high of 70. Today in history, in 2008, California becomes the second U.S. state after Massachusetts to legalize same-sex marriage after the state Supreme Court rules the previous ban was unconstitutional. The quote of the day is from English musician and crossword puzzle favorite Brian Eno, born this day in 1948. He said, quote, "Rationality is what we do to organize the world, to make it possible to predict. Art is the rehearsal for the inapplicability and failure of that process."
The Crow Creek Sioux Tribes is the seventh in South Dakota to ban Governor Kristi Noem from the reservation, and they may not be the last. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Crow Creek Sioux Tribe is joining six other tribes located within South Dakota in banning Governor Kristi Noem from its reservation. As South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Lee Strubinger reports, an eighth may follow suit.
The Crow Creek Sioux Tribe passed a resolution banning Governor Noem from the boundaries of its reservation Tuesday morning. The move comes following comments by the Republican governor alleging tribal leaders benefit from cartel activity. During a recent town hall, Noem also said kids, quote, don't have any hope. Chairman Peter Lenkeek says Crow Creek does not have drug cartels on the reservation.
We have cartel products like guns and drugs. But they pass over state highways getting to the reservation. So putting us all together like that and saying that all tribes are involved in this really shows to the ignorance of the governor's office, not willing to reach out and learn and connect with the tribes. That's what that is indicative of.
Last week, the Sisseton Wahpeton and Yankton tribes banned Noem from their reservations. The Lower Brule Sioux tribe recently rejected banishing Noem from its reservation, but Chairman Clyde Estes says the council may revisit the idea at their next meeting in June. Estes says he draws the line at Noem talking about Native children.
The children should be left out of it, of any political discussion or stuff like that. And not to say that they don't have no hope is wrong, and you should not have said that.
It's unclear if the Flandreau-Santee Sioux tribe will also ban Governor Noem. A spokesperson for Noem's office has not returned requests for comment. For National Native News, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
Unintentional injuries are among the top 10 leading causes of death for older adults, and during Older Americans Month, experts want to raise awareness about the importance of prevention. Alex Gonzalez has more.
Holly Billy is a tribal injury advocate with the Centers for Disease Control's Injury Center and says Indigenous communities around the country face unique challenges relating to falls and motor vehicle crashes.
They have higher motor vehicle crash death rates compared to older adults of other races and ethnicities. Disparities are usually a problem in tribal communities.
Billy says while disparities relating to falls and motor vehicle crashes are higher in Indigenous communities, it's important to remember that most of these injuries are preventable. In an effort to decrease the susceptibility to injury or even death, Billy contends the answer could lie within social connectedness. She says those who have close supportive relationships have been shown to live longer and encourages tribal nations to think about creative ways to further cultivate a sense of community. Gwen Bergen is also with the CDC's Injury Center and says unintentional injuries can impair older adults from doing the things they want and need to do to stay healthy, happy, and connected. She adds, for those who are concerned about their ability to drive or the chances they face of falling, she recommends having open and honest conversations with medical providers as well as caretakers.
Another important thing to do is to consider with your doctor what kind of medicines you're taking and what the side effects of those may be. Certain medications can have side effects that can increase your risk of falling or increase your risk of being in a motor vehicle crash.
To prevent falls, she encourages practicing strength and balance exercises, as well as taking part in physical activity that increases muscle strength, such as walking, group exercise, or low-impact sports. I'm Alex Gonzalez.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
The Environmental Protection Agency says the country's aging systems of water pipes are hotbeds for chemical and lead contamination. Oregon has around 14,000 lead pipes, a comparably small number, and the city of Portland has never used lead pipes. But that's not the case across the country. Chicago has the largest amount of lead drinking water pipes of any city in the nation. The nonprofit group Elevate wants everyone to have clean, safe drinking water, regardless of income or geographic location. Vice President for Environmental Health and Water Programs, Patrick McRoy, says one demographic has a higher susceptibility to lead poisoning.
We've been focusing on child care facilities. With the state of Illinois, we help administer a program to provide child care facilities with free lead and water testing to help them meet their licensing requirements.
McRoy adds that extra attention is given to home-based child care sites because they are more likely to have a lead service line. Last month, President Joe Biden's bipartisan infrastructure law allocated $15 billion to replace the country's weakening pipes. Part of Biden's infrastructure law is adherence to the lead and copper rule, removing these elements from water pipes by 2034. To better understand the mandate, the Environmental Defense Fund released a new national map map of LSL programs to help locate and replace lead pipes that deliver water to homes. Elevate's lead care program is focused on lead removal, which McRoy explains is complicated and expensive.
You have to open up a hole at the water main to make the connection, run a pipe across the yard, and then reconnect it in the home, restore the property to its original condition, whether that's putting in grass seed or sod or fixing landscaping or fixing interior drywall that you had to open up to get to where the pipe comes in the house.
McRoy says he does welcome federal resources and hopes to work with state and local governments to make sure they are distributed equitably to help neighborhoods that need them the most.
We have got Muppets on the Mind for this week's Brain Teaser. For more, we go to Pearl Stark from KPOV Bend with the Point Puzzle. It's our weekly radio puzzle challenge for listeners.
It's time for the puzzle.
For Mother's Day, I asked you to start with a famous dog, insert a mother, and get something you might be planting now. Well, the answer is Toto, insert Ma, and you get tomato. I also accepted Daisy with Mom to get Daisy Mom. Our winner this week is Brett Yost, who listens to KPOV in Bend, Oregon.
You and your mom and an ice cream cone. Things went well till the very last drop. On your lap with a great big plop. Use a napkin, not your mom. Use a napkin, not your mom.
For the new puzzle, I'm looking for two Muppets. The last five letters of one are a brand of thing, and that thing is in the last three letters of the other. As a bonus, if you put all the unused letters together and replace the vowel with an A, you get something that thing needs. So again, I'm looking for two Muppets. The last five letters of one are a brand of the last three letters of the other. To see this in writing, visit the Point Puzzle page of the KPOV website, kpov.org. When you have an answer, send your name, your answer, and the station on which you hear the puzzle to puzzle@kpov.org. I'll select one winner from among any answers received by this Saturday.
Manamana. Manamana. Manamana.
This has been Paul Stark with your Point Puzzle for the week of May 13th. The Point Puzzle is produced at KPOV, High Desert Community Radio.
It is Wednesday, and that means another visit from KBOO News poet Dan Raphael, who's calling this month, Maybe.
Trump's trial and all the commentary gets me optimistic, but I know better than that. Don't know how many devils Donnie sold his soul to. There's so much could go wrong. Trust the judicial system? The Israeli-Gaza conflict could boil over. Russia could go nuclear. Can there be enough security at the Paris Olympics? What will come first, hurricanes or wildfires? Was DA Mike Schmidt responsible for homelessness, drug addiction, and hissy-fitting police so everything will be better when he's gone? Once this election's done, we'll be inundated with city council candidates, Portland's new Zodiac, or 12 apostles, each seeing a different future. Maybe we'll get to be the hottest city in the world again. Maybe developers will lose the financial incentive to build condos that stay vacant for years. Could Ted Wheeler be our next governor? Maybe the tomatoes we've already planted won't get killed by a cold snap, and they'll be so tasty come late July. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You are listening to a spring membership drive edition of the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories, tips, and ideas at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Dan Raphael, the producer is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Ray Bodwell. Special thanks to Eric Tegadoff, Catherine Carley, Antonia Gonzalez, and Puzzle Master Pearl Stark. The director of Evening News is the altruistic Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Michelle Coppola.
And I am Reed Johnson. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. KBOO is currently in our spring membership drive, and now is a great time to join. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to bit.ly/KBOO, or you can text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in Depth, and have a good night.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You are listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings. It's county budget time in Multnomah County, the first that Chair Jessica Vega Peterson has been fully in charge of since winning her seat. There are some important things included in this budget and some important things left out. The process is going by quickly. A final vote on the budget is scheduled for June 6th. Last Wednesday, May 8th, was the first public hearing on the 2025 county budget. Here's Vega Peterson opening the floor for public comment.
Tonight's budget hearing is one way that Multnomah County collects community feedback on our budget before it will be adopted on Thursday, June 6th, at the regular meeting of the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners. The FY25 executive budget is the first one I've had the privilege to lead from start to finish. It is an offering to our community and a reflection of where we're coming from, where we are, and where we're going. I am very proud of the values reflected in this budget.
One Multnomah County program that's been left out of this budget is the Multnomah Mothers Trust. It was a project started in 2021 offering unconditional cash transfers